Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit westernsouthern.com.
Now batting number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Jim Day Podcast once again, everyone. Thanks for checking us out. And look who we've wrangled into the podcast today. It took a no-hitter for this to happen, which is beautiful. We love that. It's Wade Miley. Wade, how you doing?
Doing good, Jim. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm fantastic. I know you are probably, man, you've been worn out by all this. You're a guy that doesn't necessarily like attention publicly put upon yourself, but this was heaped upon you, and we appreciate you coming on to share some stories with the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's I do love to fly under the radar, but I guess I kind of screwed that up for myself. But it's I'm enjoying it. It's cool. It's fun. So make the best of the situation.
Has it worn you out at all? I mean, just the attention and all the extra interviews you've had to do and stuff?
It hasn't been all that bad. It's, you know what, like, it's more cool. It was cool. To all the people that's reached out to me, from my childhood friends to teammates I've had, and then the interviews, it's been fun. Am I ready to move on from it? Yeah, probably in a way. Ready to get to my next start? Yes. But at the same time, it's something, obviously, I'll remember for the rest of my life. And it was definitely one of the coolest experiences of my life.
Well, it's something that Reds fans will remember forever, that's for sure. There wasn't really a moment besides a couple hard hit balls where you're like, wow, is he going to get this? A lot of guys will struggle through an inning, but that was as dominant as a performance that I've ever seen. It looked easy. Obviously, it was not for you, right?
No, it's never easy. It's never easy to go out there, especially I don't throw hard. I mean, I have to be pretty, not necessarily precise. I have less room for error, a lot less room for error when I'm pitching, I feel like, in today's game. But like I said, I keep giving so much credit to Tucker Barnhart. Like, he stayed with me the whole entire game. Without really having much of a game plan going in, I was using more of the information I got from I'd faced him a couple weeks earlier. And just like a lot of credit to Tucker for he's throwing the right number down, you know, throwing the right pitch down, and like me believing in it and then being able to execute it early on and just got into a rhythm. And it was defense made every play possible.
Tucker said his heart rate was about 180 beats per minute in the ninth. Was it that way for you?
It really wasn't. Honestly, it wasn't. Like, I got a little, when I got the most nervous was because it was nothing going when I finished the eighth. Right. And obviously I knew there hadn't been any hits. But it's nothing. So in my mind, I'm just more thinking, like, I might throw a no-hitter without winning a game. Like, I'm not sure yet. Like, it eased pressure. But when we scored that first run, I kind of felt my heart jump a little bit. Like, holy cow, this has got a chance to happen. And but then after that, I don't know, walking out to the mound, I can remember, like, trying to do the same thing I had been doing the last couple innings before, like, the way I laid my jacket down, like ridiculousness, like stuff I don't do. And I was like, it was out of control. I'm walking to the dugout, walking to the field. And I just remember thinking to myself, this is either going to happen or it ain't, like, whatever. And just kind of went out there from that and it happened.
So you're not superstitious, but you found yourself doing superstitious type things?
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not superstitious, but like in the dugout, like I don't like normally necessarily worry about what I don't try to repeat what I'm doing in between each inning based on the results I got. You know what I mean? I'll do the same thing throughout the day leading up to a start, or if things are working, I'm a big Bull Durham fan. Like, you don't mess with something, you know, don't if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, No doubt. But I caught myself in the dugout. It was ridiculous. I'm like, I'm trying to hold my jacket the same way and wipe my face off the same way. I'm like, Jesus, wait, what are you doing?
I love it. Tucker said that he went to the restroom in the ninth and realized about halfway through, what am I doing? I think I just ruined a no-hitter for Wade Miley.
Yeah, I got a funny one, too, in the ninth. That was a long ninth inning. And Tyler Stevenson, who I have a really good relationship with, great kid, love him. He'd been warming me up, you know, the innings, in between innings when Tucker had hit or something. And in the ninth, we had that long inning going, and I'm sitting down there in the dugout, like I feel myself getting tight. I'm like, I need to go throw. Like, I need to go do something. And then a part of me is like, you can't move. And then I was like, I got to a point where I got to go throw. So I ran downstairs, and I yelled for Rolando. I was like, Rolando, you got a glove. And Stevenson just so happened to be in there using the restroom. And when he walked out, he grabbed his catcher's mitt, you know, and we start throwing. Like, I can see in his face, he's so scared. And I'm trying to talk to him. I'm like, Steve-O, we just got to get three more outs. And he won't even make eye contact with me. He won't look at me at all. Like, I'm flipping balls to him in this tunnel in a hallway. And then after the game, it all happened. He said, you don't know how scared you made me, like making me play catch with you right there. And just like talking, and like, he didn't want to mess it up. That was funny. That made me laugh.
That is funny. Your teammates were talking about Sonny Gray choreographing where guys sit between innings and stuff. Did you hear that?
Sonny's always coming down talking to me and stuff. Like, he'll come down and pat me on the back or say stuff to me, or and like, I didn't see him at all. I seen him in the, like, a top step, never moved from there. And like, he got a little weird. He said throughout the game, he was like, kind of peek back at me to see if I was looking. And then he'd look at me to see if I was okay when I wasn't looking. Yeah, they had me rolling. After it all happened, we went back to the hotel. We kind of sat in a room. And we were just talking about it. And some of the stories, it was hilarious, like what people were thinking about.
Yeah, that was one of the fun parts, is that your teammates said that you went back after the game, and everyone had their own perspective of the no-hitter and where they were and what they were doing and weren't doing and how superstitious they were.
Right.
I mean, that obviously makes it a very special night. But you said that, what, sixth inning, people started scattering? Because you like to talk, I know.
Yeah, I felt them moving away from me. I felt people not giving me as many high fives when I came off. And I mean, I felt that there was one, Jesse Winker, it was hilarious. He's DH, and like, Winks, I think we're a little bit alike when it comes to, like, we're kind of like scatterbrains all over the place. And he's in there talking to everybody at DH. And well, he was giving me a high five after every inning, from the first inning to the seventh inning. Well, then in the eighth inning, he didn't give me my high five. Like, right when I come down the steps. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh, no, wait. I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him pace back and forth. And then, like, he kind of, like, he must have thought about it, because he awkwardly, like, kind of walked over there, like, faced away, and he stuck his hand out, and I slapped it, and then he went on about his way. But we got the high five in. So, like, this weird stuff happens in those moments, and you start thinking about it. And, like, I'm start thinking, like, in the eighth inning, I'm like, what am I gonna say if this happens? Like, what do I talk about? Like, and then I'm like, shut up, wait, stop thinking about that. You got to get out. Like, all these stupid thoughts start entering your mind, and but. It all worked out.
Well, we interviewed Kyle Farmer after the game, or it might have been the next day. And I said to him, well, I know you guys weren't talking to Wade. And he's like, well, let me correct you, because Wade never shuts up. He wouldn't let us not talk to him.
Yeah, I was trying to talk as much as I could. That keeps my mind off of it. And like, it just keeps my mind off of pitching, not just so much because I had a no-hitter, just in any game, I'm always trying to talk, always trying to, like, ask hitters about their bat, or tell hitters, or, you know, just pick their brains. And it's really what it's doing is helping me not think about the inning before or the inning I got to go out. I don't like thinking about it until I cross the white line and get in the moment.
Yeah. Well, Barnhart said he was forced to talk. You forced him to talk to him. He didn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they're giving me thinking, like, one-word answers and stuff. And, like, no conversation. Just, like real quick, like, hey, what do you think about that last – yep, good. And then look the other way. Just stuff like that.
The overwhelming show of support you got from your teammates. I've seen a lot of scenes in baseball, including no hitters, but I'm not sure I've ever seen universal, like, their teammates seemed more happy than you were. And they talk about how special of a teammate you are. How much does that mean to you in hindsight, now that, you know, all this?
It means everything to me. It means the world to me. It means, I mean, when I sat in after this, I was fortunate enough when I got to the big leagues in 2011, I was surrounded by a group of guys, J.J. Putz, Joe Saunders, Ian Kennedy, Micah Owens, just super veteran, Aaron Hill, Johnny McDonald. I don't want to leave anybody out, but the veteran guys, it's like they taught me how to be a professional and how they carried themselves in the clubhouse. And it really helped me, like, right then and there at an early age, like, learn what it's about baseball. It's about playing the game and winning the game, but it's more than that. It's about being a good human being and trying to make others around you better. And I've always tried to take pride in doing that and just being a nice guy. If somebody needs to talk, be there to talk, whether I got the answer or not. Just fake it till you make it, you know, like,
yeah,
make them believe in themselves. And I've always tried to do that. And there's been times in my career where I've needed people to pick me up, and they have, and they've been there for me. And this is a special team, special group of guys. And I feel like we made some big strides last year with the clubhouse and just helping people be better human beings. And I think that leads to being a better teammate and a better baseball player. And it relieves stress, you know. You don't have to think so much about this game we play. It's a game of failure. Like, everybody fails so much in this game. We get caught up in that, and it's hard, you know. The talent's there. The talent's there all throughout baseball, minor leagues, big leagues. And I think we get so caught up in the failures of this game. And I just try to keep things loose and just be a good guy, you know, as best I can. And it really made me proud the way they embraced me after that all went down. And, you know, it was a very special and very cool moment.
Yeah, the game is hard enough, and it's such a grind, and it's so long. It's such a marathon as opposed to other sports that you got to have lighter moments. I applaud you for that. I think more younger players need to just not stress so much. There's already so much stress in society.
Right. And it's that's why I'm so – not that I'm anti-social media and anti – like, it's not – it's like – all these guys that are on social media, I had Twitter a long time ago when I was and like you read these things and these fans and sometimes there's some negative comments and it's hard not to read them, you know, and you take those things and you're like, oh my God, I got to be better. So this random person doesn't bash it. Like that stuff doesn't matter. That's their opinion. Like, they're good at their job. We're good at our job. Like, that's why we're doing it. And that, I don't know, that stuff just like, it would get to me and it would bother me. And that's finally when I was like, you know what? I'm done with social media. I'm done with that. And I think some of these young guys, the pressure that they put on themselves because of what someone else thinks about them, is it's tough. Like, just go be you. And I feel like I try to do that every day.
Yeah, I see a lot of players running to their phone and seeing what people have to say when it used to be the only thing that mattered was those 25 guys in the clubhouse. That's really the only opinion that mattered.
Right. That's exactly right. And it's not necessarily like social media to me is not necessarily a bad thing, because like the marketing and then like getting yourself out there, but there's a lot of negative that comes with it as well. And that's where I just try to shy away from the negativity as much as I can, because in any work, from whatever you're doing in life, you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as a baseball player, as any athlete, when we have a bad day, it's a little more magnified and more people see it. And people get opinionated. So, and it's their opinion, no doubt, but at the same time, this game, stuff's hard enough, you know? So, need to make it any harder by reading and all that stuff.
You did an amazing thing other than throw a no-hitter, and that is getting David Bell to let his guard down. He is so calculated, so even-keeled, at times so monotone. And even David Bell got caught up in the moment afterwards in the interview. He was rambling on and on about how proud he was of you and that and how cool it was. I mean, you got David Bell to let his guard down. Congratulations.
Yeah, I had to wait like 4 extra minutes before I went into the interview because he was taking too long, and that never happens. Like, he's normally in and out of there.
Right.
Like both of us, we try to get in and out pretty quick, and I had to wait for David. I'm like, dadgum. And at the time, I didn't know what he was saying or know what he had said or anything like that. But just blessed to be able to, you know, work with him. He's a great human being. And I know he had the beginning, the tough with Mike and all that. And I was fortunate enough to know Mike well and play for Mike. And just very good, just a great family.
Yeah.
The Bell family is just amazing people, and the genuine care they have, that Mike has, that David has for players that they coach. It's more than baseball and being successful. It's just I really feel the love that they have for us, and that's awesome. You know, it's hard to replace that.
Yeah, and you know, I've noticed a difference in David, and it's natural. It's been a horrible time for their family, and he's at the same time having to deal with being a major league manager, which is not easy, and it's even harder nowadays, I think. So just to give him some joy that night, it was just great to see how happy he was. So
it's beautiful. I tell David all the time, win, lose, or nothing. We got this thing kind of between me and him. It's like, David, we're just fishing. we're just out here fishing, buddy. Like, you're gonna win, you're gonna lose. Let's just try to enjoy this moment as much as we can. You know, give it all you have. At the end of the day, we're gonna give it everything we have. I am individually, every time I cross the line, and I feel like by doing that, other people feed off of it, and then the team starts molding together. And but at the end of the day, we're playing a game. We're very fortunate to do what we do, and yeah, it's super fun to be a part of this ball club.
Now, we are recording this, ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday. So this is before you're following the no-hitter. So I got to ask you, is your chest still hurting? You said that Barnhart linebackered you in the celebration.
He got me good. I think I'm all recovered. I know I was supposed to pitch yesterday in Pittsburgh. Yeah. It rained out, you know, got me a couple extra days. And I was standing, nothing to do with my chest from Tuck hitting me. Or anything like that, but I was playing catch in the outfield yesterday. I'm like, oof, I don't know if I could have pitched today. I'm still banged up, but I feel better today, and hopefully tomorrow I can get back out there and hopefully give the boys a chance.
It looked like Tuck was like caught in between. He didn't know if he should jump in your arms, whether he should not, and then he just had so much momentum going, and he just crashed into you.
He did. It was awesome. I wouldn't replace that. It's a cool moment for me and Tuck, and I'm happy it was with him. You know, I'm happy. Could have been with, you know, Eric Kratz. I think about some of the bigger catchers I've thrown to. Eric Kratz would have pancaked me right there on the spot. I'd have been down.
You would have been out.
I talked to Kratz, a guy. He texted me that night, and I was thinking about that. I was like, hey, I couldn't imagine throwing one to him. He'd have killed me. But, no, Tuck packs a pretty good punch. I'll tell you that. Like, I got to give him credit. He got me pretty good.
He had said that you guys have so much chemistry that there are times that he doesn't even have to put a sign down. You just
it's been wild. You know, last year, weird year, with COVID, and then I just couldn't shake the injuries and feel great. And we never really got on the same page. But I think last year was huge for me and Tuck, because just the times we did work together, he kind of seen how I like to pitch and what I like to do. I just wasn't executing. And this year, moving into this year, working with him in spring and then into the season. And it is really fun. Like the way we call a game together has been outstanding. Sometimes we'll make some pitches throughout a game or throughout an inning, and then in between innings, he'll ask me why. And I'm, for the most part, I have a pretty good reason. And he'll tell me, look, well, I've seen this. And then I understand. You know, like, we're working together. We're reading things, looking at things. And I'm developing a trust. I'm trusting him in what he's seeing. So it's really cool.
Now, there's been a lot made, and rightly so. I love the fact that your son, Jeb Boone Miley, is getting so much pub. Because when you think of baseball, you think of father-son, you think of father-daughter, you think of mom-son, mom-daughter. This Hulk tattoo is it's a life of its own right now.
Right.
And can you just take us through, your son put the tattoo on you in Cincinnati before you left for the trip, right?
Yeah, so first and foremost, my family is unbelievable. Like, the sacrifices my wife has made for me in doing what I do and being able to, you know, travel around. And she kind of put her life on hold 10 years ago, 11 years ago for me. And I got to thank her for that support and everything. But, yeah, getting to my son, we're blessed to have a little 4-year-old boy who's just full of energy, has no idea what dad just accomplished or what we're talking, has no clue. All he knows is I gave him a shout out on TV talking about the Hulk, and
heck yeah,
he's so pumped about that. He's actually been, the last 4 or 5 days, he's been like going through these tattoos. I've learned, I didn't even know this until after all this happened. They come in like these little cookie packs, these Avenger cookie packs. So like, I put him on a mission the next night for me and Sonny. Sonny's going to be Thor. And I said, buddy, I need some more Hulk tattoos. So he's just been crushing these cookies to try to get tattoos out of them. He has no idea about a no hit. Like, he doesn't understand it quite yet, but he understands the fact that he needs to get us tattoos. And that's his mission right now. And I literally just talked to him this morning, and he's like, Dad, I found some more Hulk tattoos. I'm like, great, buddy, great.
So is this going to become a thing on the team? You think these guys are going to be wearing them for you or what?
I don't know. I know Hoffman said he's going to get the real Hulk tattoo tatted on him somewhere. I don't know.
Really?
We'll see. Yeah, I want to, but I'm scared. The needle thing freaks me out. So
you were very public about that, about saying you're scared of needles.
I don't like needles. I don't like, the hardest part of me in my baseball career is spring training when we got to give blood. That's once I get through that, I'm good to go.
So you're good standing on a major league mound against the best hitters in the world in a yep. game of failure, but taking blood is just
a lot of sweat coming down my face that morning headed to do the physical.
So there's no chance of a permanent Hulk tattoo
right now in this moment. I don't think so.
So why Thor for Sonny Gray?
That's what Jeb picked out. Sonny was FaceTiming Jeb the other day. He was by me, and Sonny asked him, which one should I wear? And Jeb came up with Thor, so we'll see.
Now,
we will see.
Will a Thor tattoo get in the hands of Sonny, or is it already gotten in the hands of Sonny?
It's not yet. I guess it's going to have to be when we get back home. But I don't know if Sonny will wear it or not. I don't know if that was a one that night thing. We're just goofing off, but Jeb took it serious, so.
Yeah,
Jeb's been on a mission to find him.
Wow, what a lifetime of stories that your son's going to have over this. When you guys play, he's normally Batman, right? Is that
Well, he's all the cool ones. So Batman, cool Spider-Man, Superman. Every now and again, he'll let me be Captain America, but I mean, that's a stretch to ask him to be Captain. You know, that's a tough one.
Well, Batman's the coolest superhero on Earth. Let's face it.
He's always running around in Batman shirts.
I'm a huge Batman guy, so I love that. But you became the Hulk, and you said, you know, I don't know why, because I don't have any muscles to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not the most physically fit human being. Like, I get looked at like, how do you play baseball? I get that look all the time, but.
All right, here we are Thursday. This is the day before your next start. How is the Hulk tattoo? Is it visible?
Oof. It's hanging by a thread. I mean, it looks like it's finally starting to come. I actually put alcohol on it the day before, like the morning of my start. When we got to Cleveland, I put some of the blue tape remover on it, trying to get it off, because I was having second thoughts about it, you know, and it wouldn't come off. I mean, these tattoos are high quality.
It's fate. It's fate that thing stuck on there.
These are the most high-quality fake tattoos I've ever seen. I know the ones when I was a kid, they was gone that night.
Yeah, no doubt.
Almost 2 weeks with this thing, yeah.
Wow, that's unbelievable. But he wanted to, you wanted to put it on your shoulder, right?
Yeah, I wanted to put it on my shoulder because it wouldn't be seen. And then he said on the back of my hand or right there, and I was like, I don't want it on the back of my hand. And we went on the forearm.
Yeah, the ump might have made you take it off if it was on the back of your hand.
I know, right?
Who knows? Oh, that's just beautiful. I just love the whole story about it. I love including your son. I love the stories of the teammates. I love the teammates rallying around it. Who knows what we're going to see going forward? And if Hoffman gets a permanent Hulk tattoo,
look out.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, look out.
That'll be unbelievable. When you guys got together that night and everyone had different perspectives, was there ones that I know you told me about Tyler Stevenson, and you're like, wow, I can't believe how polarizing a moment this was.
Well, there was one story that I don't know if I should say this or not.
Go on with it. If it's bad, I'll edit it out.
It's not too bad. It's more like, I guess, my mentality and how, like, I'm out here just having a good time. I was warming up before the game, two stories, two things in mind. I'm warming up before the game, and I guess when I'm out there, they're saying my career stats in Cleveland. I'm 5 or 6 pitches into my bullpen before the game, and I hear him say I'm like 1-4 with like a 5 or something, and I just stopped and looked at Tucker. I said, "Hey, dude, I'm due for a good one out here in Cleveland." And obviously what happened. But then after we get done with the bullpen, Carl Willis was my pitching coach in Boston, toward the end of the year in Boston. And just I've kept in contact with Carl. Really, really appreciate what he's done. Helped me out a lot. And we're going down, and Plesac's finishing up. So Plesac's walking out, and then Carl's walking out, Rene Rivera, Sandy Alomar. And I just kind of stopped, let them go first out of respect, let them go ahead and get out the way. And I don't know. I said something to Plesac, like, "Good luck, man. You know, go ahead, do your thing." I knuckled Carl, knuckled Renee and Sandy, you know, and then I'm walking down behind, and they're high-fiving a couple of their guys down toward the bottom, and I'm right behind them, so, hell, I went ahead and high-fived them too. One guy pulled his hand down like he didn't want to high-five me, and then the other guy high-fived me. I'm like, I'll take luck anywhere I can get it, you know, and so Tucker's watching this happen. He's laughing. DJ's laughing behind me. Like, just stupid stuff. Like, I don't think about it. I don't know. It's just how I am, I guess.
That is great. Well, you've probably done a lot of things like that in your career, but this night you throw a no-hitter, so everything kind of is magnified and stands out.
It's crazy. It's like, it's just bizarre. Like, I don't know. A few weird things happen. We didn't do a pitcher, but obviously y'all know Tuck said I would normally have pitchers and catchers meeting. We didn't have none. I'm not sure why, just with the rain delay and just like not exactly sure when we're gonna pitch or if we're gonna play. I'm running around screaming, hey guys, they banged it, we can go home, we're gonna play 2 tomorrow, just pissing everybody off. The stock is like, you say that one more time, I'm going home, I'm not playing tonight.
You do that all the time, though, right? When it's raining,
I do it all the time. They hate it, you know. But get some guys laughing, get some tensions flaring in there. We threw together a high card game. I was just bored. I'm like, everybody put up $40, get a high card. I think Heath Hembry picked the first card. It was Ace of Spades, so it wasn't that good of a game because he won right out of the way, right out of the gate. But just trying to have something to do. You're piled up at the clubhouse. You're not sure what's going to happen. Just goofing off.
Yeah, not only did you not have that pitcher's meeting, Tucker forgot the scouting card that he normally refers to during the game and never went back to get it.
No, he said things were rolling good, so he's like, I'm going to leave it up there.
That's as old school as it gets right there.
Yep.
No, like, analytical pitcher's meeting, no scouting card, just feel, put the signs down, and let you deal.
Let's go. That's it. And we had just faced them not too long before, so I had a pretty good idea of like kind of what I wanted to do and the adjustments I wanted to make. I know I threw a lot more fastballs going into that start because of the previous start. We knew the adjustments we were going to make. We just didn't necessarily use the car. And I pick on Christian Perez, who was a big part of putting that stuff together for us all the time. All right, buddy, I don't need you to, you know, make me a card anymore, pal. Thanks for the hard work you do, but you get so mad. I'm not even making it. You don't even look at it. But I actually do. I do use a lot of the stuff that Christian comes up with, and Bo and Gary and those guys. So they're a very, very big part of this as well.
My goodness, how cool of a guy is Wade Miley? We'll have more with Wade after this message from our sponsor, Western and Southern Financial Group.
Life is full of questions, like, when should I start thinking about life insurance? But however difficult these questions may be, Western and Southern can help you answer them. Backed by over 130 years of experience, together we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind. Western and Southern Financial Group, life insurance, retirement, and investments.
Compensated endorser. Products issued by member companies of Western Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, no, it was obvious that everyone felt like they had a part of it. And baseball's a team game, man. You can't do it without Tucker. The plays the guys made in the field. Farmer on that ball that I think Reyes hit was like a screaming knuckler.
He tackled it. It was great. It was hilarious. We were like, what are you, a linebacker, bro? He literally tackled the ball.
Yeah, there are a lot of ground balls, and there wasn't a spectacular play made, but that ball right there, that was underrated, that play that he made on that ball.
100%. 100%. People don't realize. They think it's just a line drive hit at him.
Right.
When a ball is knuckling like that and you're a short side, you're not sure if it's going to bounce or not. There's a lot of difficulty to that play that goes unnoticed. Absolutely.
Speaking of Farmer, he says that he tells you often that he has a 1,000 on-base percentage against you. Is this true?
I think I hit him, to be honest with you.
You walked him and hit him, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think
it's not like he got two hits off of you.
Yeah. Yeah. He used to let me know that a lot. And, I faced him a couple lives in spring, and I think he hit a few balls pretty hard. But we never call him – I don't call him hits because we had no defenders, and I don't know where the shift would have been playing him.
There you go.
I can't say he's gotten a hit off me yet. He'll say otherwise.
Of course he will. Did you keep anything from that, from the no-hitter? Any memorabilia that you got?
I think I have my jersey. I'm pretty certain I have my jersey. Only thing I think I gave away was the hat. I think I got everything back except the hat.
Who'd you get that to?
I think the Hall of Fame had asked for that.
National Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the National Baseball Hall of Fame. So we can't really not give something to them. You know, if you get the opportunity to have something in it. I'm fortunate enough, I made a start in Australia in 2014. So they took my stuff then to the Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's cool, though, that you got something in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
right. I mean, how many people get to, you can say that? So
not very many. So right. What about the last ball, the last out?
Moose gave it to me, but I don't know. The last person that had it that I know that had it would be Rob, sure, because he had my jacket, my glove, and the ball in it. And then everything was such a blur after that. I'm sure somebody has it somewhere. I'm not sure. I haven't located it.
Maybe they're going to do something special with it for
maybe
you.
Maybe so.
Well, let's hope so. All right, you're from. How do you pronounce your hometown by the name? LaRanger?
LaRanger, Louisiana.
LaRanger, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Population, what, about 5,000, something like that?
I think now there's about 5,000 to 7,000 people there. After Hurricane Katrina, we got a lot of people moved from the South Shore to the North Shore, and there's subdivisions everywhere now. I actually, me and my wife, we moved to Husker, Louisiana, like one little town up. And we avoid some of the people. I think in Husser, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day, there's population like 75 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So you don't like the hustle bustle of a city. I was reading something about your first trip to New York City.
Oh, I didn't leave my room. I still don't. I mean, it's 10 years later and I don't leave my room. Like I go from the bus, to the ballpark. Or if we play golf, I'll hop in a car and go play golf somewhere. But that's about as far as I go in the great state of New York.
In the story, it said you got about 10 minutes out of the hotel. And I think you went to Times Square and you just turned around and went back.
Yeah, I did. Me and Paul Goldschmidt, I'll never forget. We walked out. We were staying at the Westin in Times Square, and we went walking around. One time we went, my wife and his wife were there, and we went to the Twin Tower, or where the Twin Towers were at. So I did do that later on, but the first time we got there in 2012, I don't even know if it was 10 minutes. It was quick. There was a McDonald's, and there was like three levels of a McDonald's, and people flow. I said, I got to go back. The same for me. I got to get out of here. I got to go back.
You had a
never seen a
three-deck
McDonald's. I'm out.
You had a quote about the crosswalks where people are walking, they don't even care, and they're just it's bedlam going everywhere.
We got in the first time I ever went to New York. We got in at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was like a hour and a half traffic delay. I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, people. Are y'all sleep?
Yeah, usually, you know, we're there on a typical series, 3 or 4 days, 3 nights, whatever. and I'm ready to leave. I mean, I love visiting there, and but if I had to live there, I'm not sure I could do it.
Right. It's tough. I mean, I have learned over the years, like, it's just like anywhere. The cities are the cities, but like 30 minutes right outside, 20 minutes right outside, and it's pretty rural, pretty cool. But first getting there, my first time ever going there, and I'm just thinking New York is all like that, and I was freaked out. But it's pretty normal. Yeah, I can't spend overly too much time in that city.
I'm with you.
Too many people. Just so many people.
You had mentioned putts, and you had mentioned your time with the Diamondbacks. I was reading something that they used to play Words with Wade.
Oh, man.
Does that bring back some memories?
They used to have some fun with me, for sure. They definitely had some fun with me. I feel like I think I'm pretty smart. They didn't think so as much. They tried to educate me.
Yeah, they think you're from the, you know, you had a quote that says they think I'm some backwoods dummy, but I'm pretty smart.
Yeah, I'm not as dumb as they gave me credit for, but I would always, I'm a big Jeff Foxworthy fan, Larry the Cable Guy, those guys, they come up with these crazy. And I remember he said how to pronounce mayonnaise or something like that, and I can remember saying, like, mayonnaise, a lot of people in here, and J.J. Foot just loved it. So that kind of started the whole Words with Wade thing.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. They'd give you a word, and you'd be required to spell it and then define it in a sentence. Yep. Use it in a sentence, right?
That's it. That's exactly right.
Now, one of the words they said was Schadenfreude.
Oh, that was the last one I think I ever did. I don't know. I still don't know what it means. I don't know.
It's a German word meaning finding pleasure from the misfortune of others.
I remember this now like yesterday. That's exactly right. They use the word to pick on me while I'm trying to explain it. Yeah, that's right. Schadenfreude. I do remember that. Josh Coleman is the one who said the definition. Yep.
Is there any that you didn't know? I mean, I didn't know what that word. I don't even know if I pronounced it right. I had to look it up what it is.
Schadenfreude or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave me some pretty easy ones to start, but the finisher, that if I remember correctly, that was the last one they gave me, and I kind of graduated from their school of learning that they had set up for me.
Now that you're the wily veteran, do you find yourself, they say you talk, you're a prankster, you like to have fun. Do you find yourself doing that to other teammates? Not that particular game, but just anything like that.
I have a good time with some of the guys. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy, I don't think. Nothing, no more than what was done to me. Just good, clean fun. I try never to put anybody and make them like uncomfortable, especially in the world we live in today.
Yeah.
There's a fine line on what you can and can't do. But I felt like I was always treated with respect from day one in the big leagues, even though guys had some fun with me and, you know, did a few things, but I always felt like it was good, clean fun and meant to help me, you know, just get comfortable. And that's all I try to do with guys, just to try to make them feel like loosen them up. Because some young guys come in and they're so uptight. They don't know what to say, what to do, how to act. And I think a good old joke or good old prank just helps guys open up a little bit. And I know it did for me. It helped me out a lot and makes guys feel, it felt like they embraced me. And, and in turn, I feel like you play better and perform at a higher level. So that's my thought behind all of that.
It seems like a lot of guys go to you for advice, and you're not afraid to tell them what they might not want to hear. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think the truth is very valuable. And then, like in serious situations, some guy that comes and asks me about how they're acting or what they think they should do, I can throw a thing out with Jesse Winker. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. Last year, I mean, I'm not even pitching, so I was hurt. I was on the DL. And there was some controversy about how he was staring at people and how he was, like, causing – there was no, like, intent for him to, like, start anything with guys. That's just kind of how he was or what he was doing. And I remember him asking me, like, you have a problem with that? And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, Jesse. Yeah, I don't personally like it. Like, it would frustrate me a little bit. And – the information I wanted to get over to him was like, it makes me want to get you out that much more. So why would you do that? And I think he really took that to heart, and he's thanked me since then, because it doesn't make much sense to like create like tension with somebody, especially opposing pitcher. Like, in no way did he feel that he was showing anybody up, but guys are going to take it that way.
Yeah.
And in turn, now that puts a target on your back. And now every time I face you for the rest of my career, I'm going to go even more to try to embarrass you, to try to get you out. You know what I mean? And I said, don't do that, Jess. Just dominate. You're an unbelievable hitter. You're a great baseball player. Just do that. Like, let that do the talking for you. And I've noticed a difference this year. The way he can hit always. Like,
yeah.
I didn't help him in any department of that. Like, the man could flat out hit. But he's been a little bit less, I don't even know the word to use, cocky, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, no. At times, the body language says a lot, and he had some body language that was
right.
I mean, beyond talking, just body language as well.
Just body language, right? He wasn't talking to nobody. That he would stare at people. And
yeah.
He would tell me, "I'm staring through, like past them. I'm not even looking at them." But they felt it. I had ex teammates like, "What in the hell is wrong with this guy? What's he doing?" And I didn't approach him. I was not going to approach him and say anything to him about it. But when he approached me and asked me, I wasn't going to lie to him and say, no, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. I feel like it's important to be honest with people.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of growth in Winker this year in that regard.
Absolutely.
You can call it growth, maturity, whatever you want to, however you want to label it. But
right.
There has been a difference.
Mm-hmm. Be who you are. Be your personality, but do it in a respectful way. If there's one thing I can pass along is the way I was taught the game and the way I love the game is, respect the game of baseball and respect your opponent. I feel like we've kind of like the whole respect your opponent thing has gotten a little loose here over the last 4 or 5 years with the lefty kids play and all that stuff. Like, if you want to flip your bat and pep over, that's fine. It's the excitement for your team, that's fine. But like when you start disrespecting the opponent, the other team, I have a little bit of a problem with that. And the same thing with like if somebody did it to us, like that. It's uncalled for in this game, and that's not why we play this game, to disrespect guys, because we're all out here. It's the grand scheme of things. We're one big family, all 30 teams. It's a big family that is entertaining people. And I just think this game, it's beautiful, and there's no need to disrespect it. And by doing some things that we sometimes do.
Yeah. In that same regard, and I'm not talking about disrespecting the game. I'm not playing off of that. But I see people digging in harder against Amir at times. Kind of what you said of, I really want to get a hit off of this guy.
Absolutely. And talking to Amir, and I haven't never had a conversation with Amir about that other than in spring training with he was rocking the baby, and I'm like, if you want to rock the baby, rock the baby. But like, just know if somebody gets you, you gotta take it. And he's good at that. He's fine with that.
Oh, he's very good at taking it. No doubt about that.
Yeah, no doubt. He handles it well. But I just don't think there's any reason why I want a hitter trying to hit me any give him any more motivation.
Yeah.
I that just doesn't make sense. I'm trying to be successful and be the best version of myself. So. Why would I want to piss a guy off where he has any extra incentive to do anything more? You know, lock him in more. My grandpa, when I was a kid, said, "Don't kick a dead dog," and I've kind of lived by that. Like, if I could just ease in and ease out, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Who do you hang with on the team? I know Sonny. You hang with?
I would probably. I try to keep a balance with everybody, but closer. Away from the field, my golfing buddies, Tuck, Sonny, Moose, Fulmer. We spend the most time together because we play golf and stuff like that. I feel like I have pretty good relationships with just about everybody on the team and can kind of say what we want and have a good time without people taking it personal.
Yeah.
But Sonny Gray is somebody who I took a liking to last year, even before last year. I followed his career from when I was in AA. When he was at Vanderbilt, just so happened to watch him pitch a couple of times, like, wow, this guy's special. And then him getting to the big leagues and then finally getting a chance to be a teammate of his and how he goes about his business. He's a guy I talk to if I have something on my chest or something I need to get off my chest. He would be the guy that I go to, him or Barnhart. And we have good conversations. And Sonny's another guy who I respect because he don't sugarcoat things either. He's not telling you something to make you feel better. He's telling you something that's the truth. And I respect that.
He's a pretty good golfer, isn't he?
Really good golfer. Yes, indeed. Really
is he the
golfer.
Best in the group?
Probably so. Yeah, we got a pretty good group. Our between me, Moose, Sonny, and Barnhart, we play some pretty good games. Normally, me and Tucker play Sonny and Moose, and it's pretty competitive.
Wow, you swing at lefty golf?
I swing at righty. Swing at righty.
Swing at righty. Okay.
Yep.
Moose, is he lefty golfing?
He swings at lefty. Yeah, Moose and Tucker lefty, and me and Sonny play righty. We got a lot of we had like a little team get together. We have like 7 left-handed golfers on our team. Mike Freeman, Moose, Ashcraft. It was insane. Like, I've never played with more than one left-handed golfer at one time in my life. Yeah. And I got 8 of them.
Yeah.
But we got some lefty golfers on our squad.
What, do you have a handicap? My handicap's my swing, but what, you got a number?
I play right around like a 3-4. So
wow, nice. Yeah. Very, very nice. Well, they even called upon you to pinch it before, so you're got it going on.
I'm still a little bit upset about that at bat yesterday. I got a little too antsy, 2-0, a little too high.
It was 2-0. We were like, turn him loose on 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in that situation, like I'm going up there. I've handled the bat pretty decent throughout my career.
Yeah,
I was just trying not to hit a double play ball. I want to hit something in the air, sack fly or something like that. When I got the 2-0, I might have got a little jumpy and Underwood through. I think I felt like it rise like 7 inches.
Yeah,
that should be cheating. You shouldn't be able to be that damn good.
Oh. Would you like to one time be able to throw like 99 miles per hour just to see what it feels like?
God. Would I ever? Yeah, just a 3-1 count. You know what? No more cutters. No more loopy changeups. Here it is. 99. Hit it. Yeah. That'd be a fun time. That'd be fun.
Do you think it would be as effective though?
No. I would give up a lot more home runs, give up a lot more. I get it. When you throw that hard, I mean, you challenge people.
Yeah.
Why not? You challenge people. There's going to be some mistakes. I was fortunate enough to play with Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander in 2019, and they give up a couple homers, no doubt, but they challenge guys, and it is so much fun to watch. Oh, my goodness, it's fun to watch. Where me, 3-0 counts. I don't know when the last time I thrown a 3-0 fastball. Like, I just don't do it. I'm flipping everything, but at the same time, that's kind of where my career kind of took back off because I never accepted that I was a thumber until the end of 2017. Like, hey, man, you got to learn how to pitch. You just can't throw fastballs to certain locations and think you're going to blow it by people. It just doesn't work like that. You got to use things to set things up. And it took me accepting it before I can, you know, get better.
Well, I haven't heard that term in a while, a thumber.
Yeah, I'm a thumber. There ain't many of us out there.
No, there's not. I love that term. But, you know, do you see in San Francisco the bullpen guys where they put the bullpen out there? It's like almost like dead center field. They were huddled around watching you work the ball in and out, up, down. Did you notice them out there? They were marveling at the way that you pitch.
I didn't at the time, but then after looking back, Sal Romano had said something to me about it. They were freezing, and there's really nowhere to watch the game other than right there on top of the mound. And I remember looking back and seeing some videos of those guys huddled up right there. It's pretty cool.
Did you ever take Votto fishing, by the way?
I haven't taken him fishing yet. He's got a pond by his house. It's just so tough when we're home, the downtime we have. I spend with my kid. And he likes to fish, but he'd rather play Batman and Superman at this moment. So he's not dead set on running to the lake to go catch some fish.
So Votto has a pond. Is it stocked?
Well, it's like a lake in his neighborhood. It's like I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen it yet, but he say he sees people catching fish all the time. He hasn't hooked on any yet, but we're trying to get him set up where he can catch some fish.
Oh,
I have a little pond behind my house, and I think it's actually Dick Williams' family property. I was sneaking on there last year in the beginning, and then I ran into Dick, and he said it was his. So I felt I didn't have to sneak on it no more. It's a lot better that way.
Absolutely. So you've been a big fisherman your whole life.
Yeah, I grew up just in the outdoors, just anything, fishing, hunting. Just, I have a passion for that as well as baseball. I think it's a beautiful part about the land we have to borrow while we're here.
Gosh, I'd love to see you and Votto fishing. If I could only take a camera along to that. Because Joey goes all in whenever he decides to do something. It's all in.
He is.
Like, he would have the whole fisherman gear. He would have the best rod and reel.
He just likes to sit down, though. I got to get him on his feet. Like, to me, fishing is an art. Just like baseball, just like hitting, just like anything. Like, the bait you use, I mean, he wants to just throw live bait out there. And I think that's a little easier, a little less complicated. Kind of a little tricky, you know. You got a worm on the end of a hook, and the fish is like, I want to eat that, and then he's caught. I like using plastic bait and doing the whole technique thing. So a little different. I have a little more experience than he does, but we're definitely going to get him to. He's going to catch some fish before the year's over. That's for sure.
Please take pictures, video, something that you could share. I know you guys like to have your private time, but that would be.
Do some cool stuff.
Especially him catching a fish.
I want to see. I want to be there for his reaction when one. Because I mean, it's a pretty good vibration when a fish.
Yeah.
Realize he's on a hook and he tries to get away, and it's a pretty cool little fight, and. It's going to be exciting for Joey. I hope he just doesn't let the pole go when he feels that.
Yeah. I'm good with fishing until I have to take a catfish off the line, and then it's a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you've been worn out by all this, but I think the fans will appreciate you opening up and reliving some things that happened, and you told us some things we didn't know here today, and everything I've heard, that you are the ultimate teammate, you're the ultimate competitor, you're a down-to-earth guy. I'm not trying to kiss your butt here, but everything I hear is just outstanding about you. So I applaud you as a human being, Wade Miley.
I really appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot to me, and that's I guess it's proud for me to hear that, because that's what I've tried to be throughout my career. I know there's been times where I haven't, you know, done it to the best of my ability when I was struggling, but at the end of the day, I really try to be the same person every day. Come in, you know, get my stuff done, and just try to be a good guy and be there for my teammates if they need me, and if they don't, that's fine too. But it's fun getting to know, and I've been fortunate to be on 7 teams, so I've had a lot of teammates. So hopefully I haven't made a bad impression on too many of them.
I don't think so. I haven't heard a bad word yet, so. Lots of luck the rest of the way, and best regards to your family and Jib Boone Miley, who is now a star at 4 years of age.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is Wade Miley, everyone. Thanks for checking us out. You can check me out on social media. You can scream to Wade Miley from the stand since he's not on social media. You can just scream out good things, I hope. But you can harass me on social media at Jim Day TV on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks to Wade Miley. Thanks to you. And we'll check you out next time here on the Jim Day Podcast. See you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.